Chapter 29. What is your problem? Master Blint screamed.
I don't... Kylar said.
Again! Blint roared.
Kylar stopped the practice knife with an X-block, crossing his wrists in front of him. He tried to grab Durzo's hand in a twist, but the wet boy slipped aside. They ranged around the practice building of Blint's newest safe house, vaulting off walls, maneuvering each other into beams, attempting to use every uneven edge of the floor against each other. But the match was even. The 9 years Kylar had spent under Blint's tutelage had seen him harden and grow. He was maybe 20 now. He was still not as tall as Blint and never would be, but his body was lean and taut, and his eyes were the same light, light blue. As he sweated and fought, every muscle in his arms, chest, and stomach was distinct and moving precisely to its task, but he couldn't make himself really engage. Durzo Blint saw it, and it infuriated him. Swearing long and eloquently, Master Blint compared his attitude unfavorably with a lackadaisical prostitute's, his face, with unlikely and unhealthy body parts, and his intelligence with several species of farm animals. When he attacked again, Kylar could see him mentally ratcheting up the level. One of the many dangerous things about Master Blint was that even when he was furious, it never showed in his fighting. His fury would only be allowed expression after you were lying on the ground, usually bleeding. He moved Kylar across the open room slowly, hand clenched in fist or extending in knife hand, the practice knife glittering in quick arcs and jabs. For a fraction of a second, he overextended a stab, and Kylar managed to slip around it and hit Master Blint's wrist. But Master Blint held on to the knife, and as he drew it back, the dull blade caught Kylar's thumb. That impatience cost you a thumb, boy. With his chest heaving, Kylar stopped. But he didn't take his eyes off of Master Blint. They'd already practiced with swords of several kinds, with knives of varying lengths. Sometimes they fought with the same weapon, and sometimes they'd mismatch. Master Blint taking a double-edged broadsword against a Gandian blade, or Kylar taking a stiletto against a Gurkha.
Anyone else would have lost the knife, Kylar said.
You're not fighting anyone else.
I wouldn't fight you if you were armed and I wasn't.
Master Blint drew back the knife and threw it past Kylar's ear. Kylar didn't flinch. It wasn't that he didn't still wonder sometimes if Master Blint was going to kill him. It was that he knew he couldn't stop him. When Blint attacked again, it was full speed. Kick met stop kick. Punches were diverted, jabs dodged, blows absorbed against arms, legs, and hips. There were no tricks, nothing showy. Just speed. In the midst of the flashing limbs, as usual, Kylar realized that Master Blint would win. The man was simply better than Kylar. It was usually about now that Kylar would try something desperate. Master Blint would be waiting for it. Kylar unleashed a storm of blows, fast and light as a mountain breeze. None of them alone would hurt Master Blint, even if they connected. But any would cause him to miss the next. Kylar fought faster and faster, each blow being brushed aside, or only connecting with flesh tensed for the impact. One low spear hand got through, jabbing Master Blint's abdomen. As he hunched over involuntarily, Kylar went for the full strike on Blint's chin, then stopped. Blint lashed up fast enough that he would have blocked the strike, but with no contact where he'd expected it, he broke the block too far and couldn't bring his hand back before Kylar lashed his still-cocked fist at his nose. But Kylar's strike didn't catch Master Blint. it was brushed aside by an unseen force, like an invisible hand. Stumbling, Kylar tried to recover and block Durzo's kick, but it blew through his hands with superhuman force. Kylar smashed into the beam behind him so hard that he heard it crack. He dropped to the ground.
"Your turn," Blint said. "If you can't touch me, I'll have a special punishment for you."
"Special punishment?"
"Beautiful."
Hunched on the ground with both arms throbbing, Kylar didn't answer.
He stood, but when he turned, in Blint's place stood Logan.
But the sneer on Logan's face was all Durzo Blint. It was an illusion 7 feet tall, matching Blint's moves precisely. Kylar kicked viciously at his knee, but his foot went right through the figure, shattering the illusion and touching nothing at all. Blint stood 2 feet behind it. As Kylar staggered off balance, Blint raised a hand. With a whoosh, a phantom fist shot from his hand and knocked Kylar off his feet. Kylar bounced back to his feet in time to see Blint leap. The ceiling was 12 feet high, but Blint's entire back hit it and stuck to it. He started crawling, and then disappeared as shadows writhed over him and merged with the greater darkness of the ceiling. First, Kylar could hear Blint moving to a spot above him. Then, the sound cut off abruptly. Blint's talent was covering even the scuffing sound of brushing against wood. Moving constantly, Kylar searched the ceiling for any shadow out of place.
"Scarred rabble can even throw his voice, or any other sound," Blint said from the far corner of the ceiling. "I wonder if you could."
Kylar saw, or thought he saw, the shadow moving back toward him. He flung a throwing knife at the shadow, and it burst apart, leaving his knife quivering in the wood. It was another illusion. Kylar turned slowly, trying to hear the slightest sound out of place over the pounding of his heart. The slight brush of cloth hitting the floor behind him made him spin and lash out, but there was nothing there except Blint's tunic in a pile on the floor. A thump announced Blint himself landing behind Kylar. Kylar spun once more, but something caught his left hand, then his right. Master Blint stood bare-chested, a dead look in his eyes, his real hands at his sides. Kylar's wrists were held in the air by magic. Slowly, his arms were pulled apart until he was spread-eagled. Then further. Kylar held his silence for as long as he could, then screamed as he felt his joints on the verge of dislocating. The bonds dropped, and Kylar crumpled, defeated. Durzo shook his head in disappointment, and Kylar attacked. His kick slowed as it approached Durzo's knee, as if it were sinking into a spring, then bounced back, spinning him hard and throwing him in a tangle to the floor.
"Do you see what just happened?"
Durzo asked.
"You kicked my ass again," Kylar said.
"Before that, I almost hit you," Kylar said. "You fooled me, and you would have destroyed me. But I used my talent, and you still refuse to use yours."
"Why?"
"Because I'm broken."
Since meeting Drissa Nile 4 years ago, Kylar had thought 100 times about telling Durzo Blint what she'd told him. He didn't have a conduit, and it couldn't be fixed. But the rules had always been clear. Kylar became a wet boy, or he died. And as Blint had just proved again, Kylar wouldn't be a wet boy without the talent. Telling Blint the truth had always seemed like a quick way to die.
Kylar had tried everything to get his talent to work or to learn about anything that might help, but had found nothing. Blint breathed deeply. When he spoke again, his voice was calm.
"It's time for some truth, Kylar. You're a good fighter. Deficient still with pole arms and clubs and crossbows and..." He was starting to lecture, but noticed it. "Regardless, you're as good at hand-to-hand fighting and with those Sioran hand-and-a-half swords you like as any fighter I've seen. Today you would have had me. You won't win next time, but you'll start winning. Your body knows what to do, and your mind has got it mostly figured out, too. In the next few years, your body will get a bit faster, a bit stronger, and you'll get cleverer by half. But your weapons training is finished, Kylar. The rest is practice."
"And?" Kylar asked.
"Follow me. I've got something that may help you."
Kylar followed Blint to his workroom. This one was smaller than the one Azoth had first seen in Blint's old safe house, but at least this house had doors between the animals' pens and the work area. It smelled much better. It was also familiar now. The books lining the shelves were like old friends. He and Blint had even added dozens of recipes to them. In the past 9 years, he had come to appreciate Blint's mastery of poisons. Every wet boy used poisons, of course. Hemlock and bloodflower and mandrake root and ariamu were all local and fairly deadly. But Blint knew hundreds of poisons. There were entire pages of his books crossed out, notes sprawled in Durzo's tight, angular hand.
"Fool. Dilutes the poison."
Other entries were amended, from how long it took for the poison to take effect, to what the best methods for delivery were, to how to keep the plants alive in foreign climates. Master Blint picked up a box.
"Sit."
Kylar sat at the high table, propping his elbow on the wood and holding his chin. Blint upended the box in front of him. A white snake slid onto the table with a thump. Kylar barely had time to register what it was before it struck at his face. He saw its mouth open, huge, fangs glittering. He was moving back, but too slowly. Then the snake disappeared, and Kylar was falling backward off the stool. He landed flat on his back, but bounced up to his feet in an instant. Blint was holding the snake behind his head. He had grabbed it out of the air while it was striking.
"Do you know what this is, Kylar?"
"It's a white asp."
It was one of the most deadly snakes in the world. They were small, rarely growing longer than a man's forearm, but those they bit died within seconds.
"No. It's the price of failure.
Kylar, you fight as well as any non-talented man I've ever seen. But you're no wet boy. You've mastered the poisons. You know the techniques of killing. Your reaction speed is peerless. Your instincts are good. You hide well, disguise well, fight well. But doing those things well is shit. It's nothing. An assassin does those things well. That's why assassins have targets. Wet boys have debtors. Why do we call them debtors? Because when we take a contract, the rest of their short lives is a formality.
You have the talent, Kylar. But you aren't using it. Won't use it. You've seen a little of what I have to teach you, but I can't teach it to you until you tap your talent.
I know,
Kylar said, refusing to meet his master's gaze.
The truth is, Kylar, I didn't need an apprentice when you came along. Never did. But I heard a rumor that an ancient artifact was hidden in Cenaria, the Silver Kakari. They say Ezra the Mad himself made it. It's a small silver ball, but when you bond it,
It makes you impervious to any blade, and it extends your life indefinitely. You can still be killed any way that doesn't involve metal, but immortality, Kylar. And then you came along. Do you know what you are? Did that Maja, Drissa Nile, tell you? Durzo knew about Drissa Nile? She said I was broken. The Kakari were made for people broken like you are. There's supposed to be an attraction between people who are vastly talented but don't have a conduit and the Kakari. You were supposed to call it, Kylar. You don't know how to bond it, so you'd call it, hand it over, and I'd be immortal. And I'd still be broken, Kylar said bitterly. Once I had it, we could have Drissa study it. She's a great healer. Even if it took her a few years, it would have been fine. But we're running out of time, Durzo said. Do you know why I can't just let you be an assassin? Even now he sneered. Kylar had wondered 100 times, of course, but he'd always figured it was because Blint's pride wouldn't let him have a failed apprentice. Our talent allows us to swear a magically binding oath of service to the Shinga. It keeps the Shinga safe, and it keeps us above suspicion. It's a weak compulsion, but to break it, a wet boy would have to submit himself to a mage or a meister, and all the mages in this city work for the Sakage, and only an idiot would submit to a meister. You've become a skilled assassin, Kylar. And it's making the Shinga nervous. He doesn't like being nervous. Why would I ever do anything against the Shinga? It would be signing my own death warrant. That's not the point. Shingas, who aren't paranoid, don't live long. How could you never tell me all this? Kylar demanded. All the times you've beaten me for not using my talent, it's like beating a blind man because he can't read. Your desperation to use your talent is what calls the Kakari. I was helping you, and I'm going to help you some more. He gestured to the snake in his hand. This is motivation. It's also the kindest poison I know. Master Blint held Kylar with his eyes. Getting that Kakari has always been your final test, boy. Get it? Or else? The air took on a chill. There it was. Kylar's last warning. Master Blint put away the snake, collected a few of his weapons, grabbed the bag he already had packed, and picked retribution off its pegs on the wall. He checked the big black blade, then slid it back into its scabbard. I'm going to be gone for a while, he said. I'm not coming with you? You'd get in the way. Get in the way? The casual way Blint said it hurt almost as much as the fact that it was true.